The dairy industry is the second most regulated food industry after seafood, and one of the most prolific. Milk and milk products are consumed by millions of people in the U.S., from the very young to the very old. People get 9 essential nutrients from milk: calcium, potassium, phosphorus, protein, vitamins A, D, and B12, riboflavin, and niacin. According to Dr. Stephanie Clark, the processes of pasteurization and homogenization do not significantly diminish these nutrients, as some have charged. She says in the case of protein, conventional pasteurization, heating milk to 161 degrees for 15 seconds, may actually improve the digestibility of milk. During this process, proteins are partly denatured or unraveled when they're heated.
So pasteurization actually can enhance the digestibility of proteins, whereas some people have feared wrongly that it reduces the digestibility.
Clark says minerals in milk are stable when heated, so they aren't affected by pasteurization. Vitamin C is heat sensitive, so it's degraded, but milk isn't considered a source of C anyway. I asked Dr. Clark about a conjecture that pasteurized milk is sterile or dead.
I've heard that terminology before,
yes,
as well, that the milk is dead. Well, it's not completely dead. There are some enzymes that are still functioning to make that milk go bad. Some of them are naturally a part of the milk, and some of them are from bacteria that have not been killed by the pasteurization process.
One of the reasons milk is so highly regulated and tested is that there are many opportunities for bacteria to be introduced. In the cow's teat canal, in the dairy environment, in dairy equipment, some bacteria are thermal tolerant. Some are very dangerous. For example, Listeria can be fatal. Other bacteria are completely harmless. Ultra-pasteurization heats milk to a higher temperature, 280 degrees Fahrenheit, for at least 2 seconds, and is used to kill the kind of bacteria that spoil milk. That's why it increases shelf life significantly. Homogenization is a process whereby milk is forced through a tiny aperture, which makes the fat globules smaller so that they are suspended in the milk. One argument against homogenization is that it contributes to atherosclerosis. The argument is that the smaller fat globules are absorbed into the cardiovascular system instead of digested. It was theorized as early as the 1970s in the American Journal of Clinical Research that homogenized milk contributed to unhealthy levels of a substance called xanthine oxidase in humans. Xanthine oxidase is linked to cardiovascular disease. That theory was dispelled in an extensive review by the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology in the mid-70s.
Now, since then, more research has also been done to follow up on that, including some research in the 1980s in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, which concluded that absorption of dietary xanthine oxidase was not demonstrated in the research that they conducted, and a relationship between intake of homogenized dairy foods and levels of xanthine oxidase activity in the blood could not be established. So there really was found to be no direct role for xanthine oxidase in atherosclerosis.
Clark says we metabolize homogenized milk just as we metabolize non-homogenized milk. If we want a low-fat diet, then skim milk is probably a viable option for us. If we drink whole milk, we will metabolize that milk fat similarly, no matter what size those milk globules are. Homogenized milk, milk with smaller globules that are suspended in the liquid, does exist in nature.
Goat milk and sheep milk are naturally homogenized. That's kind of the term that we used for those products because they have a higher proportion of the smaller milk fat globules. So it's funny that people are trying to claim that homogenization is a bad thing because it makes smaller fat globules, and at the same time they're trying to promote goat milk and sheep milk because they're naturally homogenized. They have smaller milk fat globules.
In recent years, there have been many reports that link cow's milk and increased hormone levels in people. Clark calls this another myth that needs to be dispelled. Growth hormones are sometimes injected into dairy cows to make them more efficient at converting feed into milk, and cows naturally produce hormones. She says all of the animal foods we eat also contain hormones naturally formed by those animals, but they do not impact hormone levels in people for this reason.
Because the growth hormones that are naturally present in all milk are not targeting human tissues.
Clark says we simply pass those hormones through our systems. The use and presence of antibiotics is another area she wants to clarify.
Antibiotics are strictly forbidden. If there are antibiotics found in the milk, and every single tanker truck is evaluated for the presence of antibiotics. If there are antibiotics found in the milk, that tank is dumped at the expense of the farm.
Dairy expert Dr. Stephanie Clark. All dairy processors, without exception, must meet the standards set out by the Pasteurized Milk Ordinance. A link to that document and more information can be found online now at rnorthwest@nwpr.org. I'm Mary Hawkins.